from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Thursday, May 14th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The South Carolina Supreme Court has overturned disgraced attorney Alex Murdoch's murder conviction, ordering a new trial in the deaths of his wife Maggie and son Paul. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson says his office plans to aggressively retry the case as soon as possible. Wilson also emphasized the ruling does not mean Murdoch will be released from prison. Murdoch is still serving a 27-year sentence tied to financial crimes secured by the Attorney General's office. Wilson says the state will continue fighting for justice. Charlotte City Council has called a special meeting for this afternoon to discuss the I-77 toll lane project further. This comes just 3 days after the council dropped a bombshell and voted 6-5 to rescind support for the multi-billion dollar highway expansion project. Thursday's meeting will be held at 1 o'clock in the Government Center uptown. It's possible the council could vote to modify or even reverse Monday's decision to pull support from the plan to build two toll lanes in each direction on I-77 from uptown to the South Carolina state line. Shortly after the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board passed Superintendent Crystal Hill's revised $2.1 billion budget, the board announced an emergency closed meeting to discuss personnel matters Wednesday morning. It's prompted speculation about the status of Hill's job following a tense 2 weeks of budget negotiations. James Farrell outlines what we know.
The board met openly at 7 a.m. Wednesday for about 2 minutes before going into closed session. It was the third closed personnel meeting that the board has held since voting down Hill's first budget request last month. That vote appeared to catch Hill off guard and led to a series of tense meetings where board members questioned the budget and accused CMS leaders of providing insufficient answers to questions. But when asked after Tuesday's vote if the board still had confidence in Hill, board chair Stephanie Sneed suggested they did.
The board has confidence. There's nothing been expressed here at the dais that we know that this is a difficult cycle. And just because we had a difficult cycle doesn't necessarily mean any particular thing.
Still, the budget drama exposed tensions between the board and Hill that weren't apparent before. On Wednesday, a CMS spokesman said he wasn't aware of any changes to her job, and Hill presented at a joint county meeting. The board extended her contract to 2029 back in December. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Crystal Hill and her staff presented their 2026-27 budget request to Mecklenburg County Commissioners Wednesday. County Commissioner Susan Rodriguez McDowell said she appreciated the school board's questioning.
I really appreciate how the CMS staff met those questions and how you all were able to resolve that. I think that was really a great playing out of the way it should work. So I'm super, super proud of our colleagues.
Commissioners posed some tough questions of their own Wednesday. Lee Altman asked the district to reconsider its continued investment in electronic devices for students, questioning technology's impact on mental health. Arthur Griffin expressed frustration about a lack of data on performance of pre-K students, but commissioners appeared supportive of the district overall. The nearly $2.1 billion spending plan includes a $700 million request for county funding that would cover a 5% increase to the local teacher's salary supplement. Mecklenburg County's manager will present his own budget and take up the school district budget request on Friday. The Matthews Fire Department, along with other companies, including Charlotte Fire, responded Wednesday to a gas line explosion and fire in Matthews at the intersection of Pleasant Plains Road and Morningwood Drive. No injuries have been reported, but two homes were damaged. During a press conference Wednesday afternoon, Matthews Fire Chief Rob Kinneberg described what caused the gas leak.
Crews from Pike Electric were on scene setting poles. They were drilling to set the pole. We can only assume that the auger hit the natural gas line.
Republican lawmakers in Raleigh have agreed on a framework to get a state budget passed. As it stands, North Carolina remains the only state in the country without a budget for the current fiscal year. Mecklenburg County State Senator Caleb Tedros joined Charlotte Talks Wednesday morning and explained how state Democrats have been left out of the loop.
Traditionally, this is dropped on Senate Democrats' office maybe the night before, if we're lucky. And so just explain how things work. If you are the minority, in this instance, the super minority, the last go-round in budget discussions, we got it, I believe, at Monday at 5 p.m. And then that Tuesday morning is when the budget was read in committee.
You can listen to the entire Charlotte Talks conversation at WFAE.org. Under a new state budget framework announced Tuesday, all North Carolina state employees would receive raises of at least 3%. Some would receive significantly more. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh.
Tuesday's agreement offers teachers an average 8% raise, and state law enforcement stands to receive raises between 10 and 20% depending on the agency. Here's Speaker of the House Destin Hall, a Caldwell County Republican.
This budget includes 3% average raise, but there's a greater raises for certain areas of state government where the need is more great.
Notably, Tuesday's agreement does not offer back pay for the 2025 fiscal year. Instead, employees earning less than $65,000 will receive $1,750 bonuses, while everyone else will receive $1,000. For teachers, those with more than 16 years of experience would receive $1,000, and everyone else would receive $500. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
South Carolina Republicans are backing away from a plan to redraw the state's congressional districts ahead of the November midterms. Five Republicans, including State Senate Leader Shane Massey, joined Democrats in voting not to keep lawmakers in session to redraw the maps and eliminate the state's only Democratic district. Winthrop University political scientist Scott Huffman says there were concerns doing so could backfire on Republicans.
Two political scientists named Groffman and Brunel years ago came up with the term dummy-mander. A dummy-mander is when you redraw a district with the intention of helping your party, but unintentionally make a district that the other party can win. That's what they were afraid of.
Republicans currently hold six of the state's seven seats in Congress. Governor Henry McMaster could still call lawmakers into special session to redraw district lines. The Museum of Life and Science in Durham says five critically endangered red wolf pups were born at the museum earlier this month. The litter includes three males and two females, and museum staff say they're all healthy. Fewer than 300 red wolves remain in the wild or under human care. The pups are expected to make their public debut sometime this summer. And for Thursday, May 14th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.